So the title of this morning's message is Take Your Place at the Table. Amen. You see, Psalms 23, if you read it and look at it very closely, it's not just a picture of our shepherd, but it's also a picture of him as our host, inviting us to come and dine. Now, he's prepared a table for us. But just because the table has been prepared does not mean that we will automatically partake of what is on the table. Amen. See, it's up to you to take your place at the table.
That's right. Come on.
And you belong at the table.
Amen.
So the question is, why don't Christians come to the table? Well, number one, Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. You know, the story is told about a poor man who saved up every penny he had to get the lowest fare on an ocean liner from England to America. He saved up enough money to buy some bread and some cheese, and he had to ration it out throughout the whole journey. And he'd watch people go into the great dining hall, and they were feasting, they were banqueting, they had smiles on their face, there was so much food, and he longingly looked in there, hungry. Occasionally a passenger or a crew member would come by and ask him, come on into the table. He says, I can't, I just had enough to do this, I'm not able to do it. He was embarrassed. But then when they got close to the shores of America, a passenger came up and said, you know, how come you did not come in and enjoy your meals? And the other passenger said, well, he said, I couldn't do it. He said, well, he said in shock, but sure, didn't you know that your meals were included in the price of your ticket? And the poor man was devastated, of course. All that time, he had suffered from unnecessary hunger. Listen to this very carefully. His suffering was not due to a lack of provision. His suffering was due to a lack of knowledge. And many Christians today, it's not because the provision isn't there. It's because they have no knowledge of what belongs to them in Christ Jesus. I declare to you, the ticket has been bought and paid for. And it includes your meals. It includes every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The price has been paid. So take your seat. Take your place. And enjoy your salvation. Thank God for being born again. But beyond born again, there's other blessings. Romans 8:32 said, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us what?
All
things. You see, he has given us all things that pertain to this life and to godliness.
Amen.
Your inheritance is not for someplace way out there in the sweet by and by. Your inheritance includes the nasty now and now. And it flows right into eternity. You have an inheritance. Oh, say it with me real strong. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. And so the difficulty has been so many have been not taught about what belongs to them in Christ. Who they are in Christ. What they have in Christ. So the antidote for that is get in the Word and find out. And believe for revelation as you feast on the Word of God. Pray prayers like this. I pray the eyes of my understanding would be flooded with light. Help me to see what you provided for me. Help me to know the hope of my calling. Help me to know what my rights and privileges are in this glorious inheritance in Christ Jesus. Lord, give me eyes to see. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Now, a second reason people don't take their place at the table is because they feel that they're unqualified and they feel like they're unworthy. But I got a word for you today. God has pre-qualified you by the blood of the Lamb. I said God has pre-qualified you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What does this mean? This means your ability to take your place at the table does not depend on your qualifications. But it's on the basis of the blood. Woo, glory to God. Somebody shout, on the basis of the blood of Jesus. So we are chosen to take our place at the table. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to earn it. There's a place set for you at the master's table. Why is that? Because you're an heir of God. Because you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because you are a son of God. We are not outsiders trying to earn a seat. We're part of the family. We're part of the family. Glory to God. We're part of the family. It's the Father and His family. The Father and His sons. The Father and His daughters. You see, the spirit that you have received from Him, the adoption, is in your heart. And in your spirit, you're crying, Daddy, Daddy. But the enemy is a liar. How many of you know he's a liar? He wants you to believe you're disqualified. But Jesus has already paid the price for your seat. Imagine now going to a banquet where your name is on a chair, but you refuse to sit there because you feel unworthy. No, no, no. God's calling us up. God's calling us in. So step up, take your seat, and begin to feast on the manna from heaven. So you say, yeah, but Pastor Mark, I'm not worthy. Right, neither am I. But God has made us worthy. And the key to overcoming this unworthy mindset is understanding your right standing with God. Because it's true. He was made sin with your sinfulness, that you might be made righteous with His righteousness. It's a free gift. Romans 5 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they're going to reign in life as kings. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So away with the sin tags. Away with the mindset that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're wrong. You were an old sinner, but you got saved by grace. Now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So sin consciousness robs people from coming to the table. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Well, everybody knows you're not worthy. But He's worthy. And He's made you worthy on the basis of the blood of Jesus. Can somebody shout in this house this morning or not? I got this word the other day. God has made you able to come to the table. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, let's look at it and let's read it together. Colossians 1 12, you guys are listening so good, you're getting the cliff notes, but how many of you are getting it today? Yes. Colossians 1 12, ready, read. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's stop right there. That word meet there is an old English word, and it's translated really able. So what this is saying is God has made you able to come to the table. Say to me, I'm able to come to the table and partake of all that is on the table. See, Paul prayed that the believers would know the riches of their inheritance. And the riches of your inheritance basically includes all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's such good news. Amen. Now, a third reason why people don't come to the table is because they're just so distracted by life. The busyness of life. You know, it's unbelievable, but God has a difficult time getting His kids to come to the table. They're just too busy. Too busy. Well, what's the antidote for that? The antidote for that is intentionality. What does that mean? That means put God first in every area of your life. Be committed to prioritize your life according to the priorities of God. And the priorities of God is, number one, He is God, and He is number one. You see, it's true. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first, not second. Not your kids' soccer practices. Not your second job. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And what will happen? All these things are going to be added to you. Praise God. So how do you seek first the kingdom of God? Well, number one, you make His word your final authority. You make a commitment to what everything God is for and what everything God is involved with. You're saying, yeah, that's me. Me too. Amen. And that includes the local church, does it not? Amen. Just think about it. You could be out somewhere else this morning, but you are here. Yes. You are here. Yes. I believe I'm looking at a congregation of seekers. A congregation of seekers who put God first place in every area of their life. If you will honor God, my brothers and sisters, God will always honor you. And did you know that it honors God when you show up? It honors God when you serve? I tell you what else honors God. It honors God when you lift up your hands and when you lift up your voice and you just don't feel like it. Come on, let's be honest about it. How many ever come to church and just have not felt like it? But by faith, because you're a seeker. Because you've tasted, you've seen that the Lord is good, and you just want more of Him. So you put your feelings aside, and you put your flesh under, and you say, hands be lifted up. Voice, sing the high praises of God. I'm telling you what, it honors God when you honor Him. And when you walk by faith and not by sight. And when you worship by faith and not by sight. And when you praise by faith and not by sight. It won't be very long before you start to have some feelings. Come on, somebody. Before the anointing comes upon you and the glory of the Lord lifts you up. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, what do you say? Let's not waste time, but let's honor God. Let's honor Him with our life. Let's honor Him with our bodies. Let's honor Him with hands raised up. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is honored when you lift your hands. He's honored when you bring your tithes. That's part of seeking first the kingdom of God. I didn't intend to preach on it, but here we are. It honors God when you put Him first place in your finances. It honors God when you teach your babies the Word of God. It honors God when you wake your babies up in the morning and say, son, daughter, we going to church. Put the PlayStation away. We're going to church. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad that we did that with our boys. Oh no, they didn't like wearing suits on the platform in the 80s. But I tell you what, last night I looked at Mariners Church down there in Irvine, California, and John kicked off the service. We honored God, and our sons honor Him. When you honor Him, you can just bank on it. Your sons and your daughters, even though they may be afar out, they're coming from afar. They're going to come to the light. They're going to come into the family of God. They're going to serve God. Why is that? Because mama and daddy have honored God all their lives. And what runs in mommy and daddy runs in the family. Glory to God. Glory. So be intentional about seeking first the kingdom of God. God's got so much for us, but He has a struggle getting His kids to come to the table. Man, I was thinking a little bit when Brenda was making the announcements about the Brazil meeting. Yeah, it's going to be online, but you're going to miss something if you just watch it online. I'm telling you, there's something happening in the house. There's some good things happening in the house. There's glory in the house. There's an impartation in the house. There's God in the house. Amen. So let us not sit idly by and let someone else get our blessing.
Yeah, I'm going to get my blessing now.
Amen. Pastor Nancy said, I'm going to get my blessing now. We got any more people like that today?
Yes.
Say with me, I'm going to get my blessing.
I'm
going to get it right here. And I'm going to get it right now. Woo! Glory to God. Take your place. Take your place at the table. Somebody says, yeah, but there's enemies there. So what? So what? You got a seat. He don't. You know where he is? He's under the table. Because he happens to be under your feet. Amen. Notice me in Psalm 23 verse 5 in the Good News Translation says, you prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. So this table is set right here in the presence of our enemies. You have a seat, even though you may be surrounded by battles. God says, I'm going to prepare a place for you right in the middle of the conflict. Right in the middle of the family stress. Right in the middle of the difficulty. God says, I got a table right smack dab in the middle of it all. And remember this, that I'm right there at the table with you. Woo, glory to God. We get excited about, you know, what's on the table, and we should. But we should be more excited about who's at the table. The captain of your salvation is at the table. The high priest of your confession is at the table. Your healer, your provider, your righteousness is at the table. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. So don't let the enemy talk you out of your seat. Your enemies cannot remove you from your place at the table. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. All of his attacks, all of his lies, all of his distractions, all those things are designed for you to remove your focus from what's on the table and who's at the table to your circumstances that are all around you. The key to overcoming that is this. Stay focused. Stay focused. We could think of a lot of scriptures on that along that line, but looking unto Jesus. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Stay focused. Yeah, there's all sorts of things out here. But remember what this, the greater is he that is in you on the inside than the enemy that's coming against you on the outside. So be God inside minded. Stay focused. Years ago, I heard an acrostic for the word focused. Listen to this very carefully. Focused. We must be fixed on Christ's unlimited supply every day. Say this with me. I am fixed. I am focused on Christ's unlimited supply every day of my life. So the question is asked, well, what's on the table that God has prepared for us? Well, man, we could preach all day and all night, but we don't have all day and all night. So I'll give you a few things. What's on the table? Well, anything and everything you may need. From the time you get born again until you step off into eternity. And the good news is this, it never, ever runs out. Think about it. God's provision and God's abundance is at the table. We don't serve a God who supplies just barely enough. He supplies to overflowing abundance. Remember this. At the end of Psalm 23:5, it says, my cup runs over. My cup is running over. Hallelujah. Can you say that with me today? My cup is running over. The psalmist did not say, my cup is half full. Imagine going to a restaurant and a waiter filling your cup with water. But instead of stopping, he just keeps pouring until it overflows. Off the table, onto the floor, out the door, and out into the streets. Well, that's how God wants to bless his children. Say with me, we serve a cup running over God. He just keeps pouring. And he keeps pouring. And he keeps pouring. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen to this translation by Rick Renner, who is a Greek scholar, lives in Moscow, has a wonderful ministry, is on 5 days a week on the Victory Network, and he has his own translation that he's working on. He already has James, and he already has the book of Jude. It is a great, great translation. But listen very carefully to his translation of Philippians 4:19. Now, we know that Philippians 4:19 says, but my God, is he your God? But my God shall supply all your need according to his what? Riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to the Renner translation. I love this. My God will supply your needs so completely that he will eliminate all your deficiencies. He will meet all your physical and tangible needs until you are so full you have no more capacity to hold anything else. He will supply all your needs until you are totally filled, packed full, and overflowing. Listen to this. To the point of bursting at the seams and spilling over. Hallelujah. Do you take that? I receive that for you. I receive that for the church. Amen? We're in the running over blessing. Amen? Well, then, what else is on the table? Healing's on the table, right? Jesus said that healing is the children's bread. And the good news, he never runs out of bread. You know, you go to some restaurant. How many of you ever been to a restaurant and you'd like some bread? And they may charge you for the bread, but the bread goes quick. When you're hungry, how many of you know the bread goes quick? I can remember my sons. I mean, they'll eat a whole basket full of bread before mom and dad even get a piece. And so you got to keep asking for bread. Well, on God's table, his bread never runs out. It's an unlimited, vast supply. Woo, glory to God. Of good old sourdough bread. Come on, somebody. So healing bread is already on the table. And somebody says, well, if healing belongs to me, why don't I have it? Because you haven't taken it. If you're sitting at the table of the Lord asking, why don't I have bread on my plate? You know? It's because you haven't taken it.
Yeah, that's right.
If you come to our home for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, I'm telling you what, there's going to be rolls. There's going to be bread. But if you're just sitting there wondering how come you don't have any bread on your plate, I'm telling you what, Brenda will give you a wake-up call. She'll tell you, it's right there. Go ahead and take it. Just help yourself. Just help yourself. Healing is in abundance. His bread is available to all of the children of God. Believe it. Receive it. Take it in Jesus' name. How many know that victory is yours? Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. It is on the table. Anything and everything you need is on the table of the Lord. And you know what else is on the table? Thank God there's forgiveness at the table.
Amen.
There's mercy at the table.
Amen.
The Message translation of Psalm 23:5 says it this way. It says, you serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. I like this. You revive my drooping head and my cup brims with blessing.
Amen.
I mean, anybody ever taken a cruise before? A lot of you have taken a cruise before. We've taken some cruises. We enjoy cruises. You just got to go to the right place, right? And get on the right cruise line. But don't ask me because I'm not your travel agent. You got a guide on the inside. But the neat thing about these cruise ships is, man, they serve it up at night. Can I hear? Can I get a witness? I mean, sometimes it seems like it's a 6-course meal, right? And you know what they have? They have it written out. And it looks like, whoa, several courses. Well, if you want to find out what's on the menu, what's on God's table, find out what is written. Find out what is written. In Psalms 103, it says this in verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, don't forget anything and everything that's on the menu. It's a benefit to you. It's a benefit for you. The Bible says he daily loads you with benefits. Another way we could say it is this way. He daily loads us with blessings. Amen. Because it is written. Verse 3. Notice what's on the menu. Who forgiveth? He forgives all of your iniquities. Pass the bowl of forgiveness. I'll take it now. Verse, who healeth all thy diseases. How about this? Verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. I'll take that. How about you? He's continually redeeming your life from destruction. He's crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, read verse 5 with me. Who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed just like the eagles. Woo, glory to God. You talk about soaring. You're soaring like an eagle. Amen. So there's provision at the table, right? There's healing at the table. There's forgiveness at the table. There's mercy at the table. But how about this? There's joy at the table. Someone say it with me. There's joy at the table. And joy is not meant to be a snack or a dessert. Joy is meant to be a staple. We often treat joy like an extra, but actually joy is essential. It is essential for you and I to partake of the joy of the Lord. Now, why is that? Because the joy of the Lord sustains us. In the midst of the test, if you count it all joy, you'll land to a place where you're perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If you will take large platters full of joy, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I said, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Oh, let's say it together right now. The joy of the Lord, it is my strength. You know, Paul, when he was in prison in Philippi, you know what he said in Philippians 4, verse 4 to them? I mean, he was really facing some difficult times. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord if you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord if the weather's perfect. Rejoice in the Lord when your bills are paid. No, he said, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
On a sunny day. On a cloudy day. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So there's joy at the table. You know what else is on the table? There's huge platters of peace at the table. And it's not a side dish. It's a main course. I mean, you know today that his peace is not earned. It's served at the table. We're to be partakers of the peace of God. You know, Paul said something to the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. I think they can pull it up. Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace of God do what? Let it rule or let it reign in your heart. Now, it's interesting to me that that word rule was used in ancient games. And the word rule there literally means umpire, or it means referee. So he's saying, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, what does an umpire do? An umpire declares either safe or out. And so, as human beings, we face a lot of emotions, do we not? And the enemy likes to trick with us concerning our emotions. He likes to bring fear, he likes to bring doubt, he likes to bring rejection, inferiority complexes. And so when those things come to your soul, when those things come to your mind, let the umpire determine, let the referee determine whether that is safe for you or whether that's to be out of your life. So anything and everything that does not line up with the peace of God. Another we could say it way we could say it is this: anything and everything does not line up with the Word of God, you must cast it down. You must cast it out. Those ungodly emotions that the enemy brings to your soul, stop entertaining them. Stop thinking about them. Stop rehearsing them. Stop speaking them. Amen? And let the peace of God rule. Let it reign in your heart. And rise up and take your place at the table and declare boldly, this doesn't line up with the Word of God. This thought is not from God. This thought is from the evil one. Therefore, I take this thought and I cast it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other translations would say it this way: let the peace of God call the shots in your life. Another one would be this: let the peace of God be the umpire in your life and in all of your actions. And still another one: let the peace of God act as a referee in your emotions and your decisions. I like that one. I'm going to read that again. Y'all still here? Let the peace of God act as a referee in your emotions and in all of your decisions. So when you're praying and you need to make a decision, always follow peace. Amen. Always follow peace. Peace is your referee. Peace is your umpire. A question to ask yourself: well, do I have peace about this? Well, no, I really don't have peace. Then don't move. Don't move on anything until you have peace in your heart. And don't allow yourself to, better way to say it is this: don't talk yourself into peace when it's not there. Because the thoughts will come, well, but if you do this, then this, and if you do that, then that, you know, you might as well just do it. No, you might as well just cast that down. Because if you don't have peace in your heart, guess what? It's not going to be a good result if you act on it. Amen? All of your decisions. That has to do with trust, doesn't it? We sing that song a lot around here. I trust in God, my Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen. How many of you know that heaven is our destination? But He's given us a very, very faithful companion for our journey. And that's the Holy Spirit. And He will lead you. And He will guide you into all the truth. So don't talk yourself into something that you already know is wrong. Amen. How many people have married the wrong person just because the clock was ticking? You know, just because, you know, the hormones were raging. Can we just get real now? No. You got to have peace in your heart about the big decisions. You got to have peace in your heart about where you're going to live. You have to have peace in your heart about where you're going to go to church. Well, Pastor, there's a church right across the street, but is it your church? Now, I'm not saying that Heart of the Bay is the only church, because there's a lot of great churches in the Bay Area. But every one of us have to have peace in our heart where our place is. Amen? And I happen to love this place. You know why? Because it's His place. I love his place. And so let the peace of God rule in your heart on anything and everything having to do with your life. You know, it's amazing, you know, as ministers, we have to make decisions all the time. I mean, all the time. And sometimes you just like to say, okay, let's just go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and do that. You know, just having that kind of an attitude does not determine the peace of God. You got to weigh things out. You got to pray things out and pray things through. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Amen. As far as investments are concerned, let his peace rule in your heart concerning investments. Now, how many of you know that the Dow has been up and down? It's been down 500 points, then it'll go up 200 points, it'll be down 400 points, then go up 100 points, then it'll go way, way, way up, and go way, way down. We can't live by the up and downs of the Dow. We've got to live by the Spirit of the living God who leads us and guides us into all the truth. Amen. So I'll talk to my advisor. Thank God for good advisors. Amen. But the best advisor that you will ever have lives on the inside of you. The Bible says that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. That means that wisdom in the heart of man is like deep water. And a man of understanding, he's going to draw it out. Amen? How many of you are making some decisions right now? That's about 80% of you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to our table. We come to the table of the Lord. We take our place. And we say, pass the peace right now in the name of Jesus. We're asking for divine wisdom and divine direction in all the affairs of our life. In the name of Jesus, we believe and we receive the wisdom of God on every detail of our lives. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. So let the peace of God act as a referee in your emotions and your decisions. I love this statement. Peace isn't found in the absence of trouble, but it is found in the presence of God. And then lastly, Psalm 25 says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. What else is on the table? I'm telling you, there's anointing on the table. There's refreshing for you on the table. In Psalm 92, verse 10, this will be our last scripture. He says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, and I shall be anointed. Woo, glory to God. I'm telling you, if anybody's going to be anointed, it's going to be me. Why? Because I say so. And you ought to say so too. Say it with me. If anybody's going to be anointed, it's going to be me. I shall be anointed with refreshing. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So this table is a place of fresh anointing. In biblical times, oil represented honor, healing, and empowerment. Jesus said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you take your place at God's table, you will receive a fresh anointing for your calling. You will receive a fresh anointing for your journey and for your trip. I submit to you today, take your place at the table. It's waiting for you to come and partake. For he has certainly made you able to come to the table. Let's stand up, everybody.